show.
Yes, we're here. We're going to talk Mac. We're going to talk Mac all the way through as well. No making up the news. It's going to be proper. And I've got a great panel to discuss the week in Mac with me. Well, actually, it's not true because there hasn't been a week in Mac. There's been nothing. Been sod all, as usual. And that shot is still squiffy. I hate that when it does that.
We're still a good panel, though.
Oh, man. Starting off so that I can do it. Dom McAllister, how you doing, mate?
Good afternoon, Ewan. I'm very well, thank you.
You have been away for ages, it seems to me. I know you've done the show with
yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
It's been a while. Yeah, we had to use that funny Google Plus thing, and now we're back. Good old Skype.
God, I do it properly, you see. There's the thing.
Yeah, it's been a while, because it's been off and on as well. I've not been on every week, so it's been a good while.
Don't tell Carl I said that, though.
I've been following you on Twitter, though, Ewan, so I'm well up to date with all your trials and tribulations. And
oh, mate. That's question one this week. Dear Ewan, why are you such a wanker?
Wow, that one's really specific. I figured it'd be, dear you, what on earth?
I'll tell you what, I reckon there's a contract out on me. This week. I really do. Next to him, Jeffrey Gamet, how the devil are you? You're in Chocovision.
Am I really?
Yeah, well, you came on with a wispy voice as well. I'm wondering whether Colorado's lost its internet connection. Have you paid the bill?
Oh, crap. I didn't realize I was supposed to pay the bill. Hold on. I can at least double check my microphone and make sure that didn't get switched out for the wrong one.
That's okay. Well, you can do that while we talk to everyone else. How have you been, mate?
Yeah. I've been doing... I am all chunky. yeah, I've been doing pretty good. And I got to spend a week down in Civilization, which was awesome. So I need to move. Nah. Because... there's too much that doesn't work up here in Estes Park, clearly, because I've become 8-bit.
Once a hermit, always a hermit. That's the rule.
Oh, well, I should have read the memo.
Okay. Paul in the chat room has said, dear Ewan, why are you such a wanker? ... Answers on a postcard. Oh, well. and next, Kelly, how's it going, girl?
Not bad, how about you?
I've had a great week, actually. I've done loads, and I've got a new phone as well. But apparently I'm cast into the gates of hell from this point forth, and never to return. So.
What did you do?
I bought a Nokia.
Did you make your wife angry?
No, I made her very happy. I bought her a Nokia 820, and she loves it.
Oh, awesome!
She's gone from an iPhone to an 820, and says this is much better.
Okay.
I'm going to get so much hate mail for that.
You're a little tinker. I don't know.
I'm going to get so much hate mail. And last but by no means least, it's Greeny. He's on green screen, but he hasn't got enough light in it to do the trick. I've had a little try and it doesn't work, dude.
Oh, hold on. I haven't put me in a video light.
It needs to be flat and it needs to be well lit, mate.
How's that? Is that better lit?
It's better. It's better.
I've got the piano here as well.
You've got the piano?
Look,
really?
I'll give you a view. Look at this. This is a lovely view.
Okay, give us the view.
I'm tilting here.
Whoa!
Piano.
Oh, good man.
I've got the Hornby railway set down there. All set up.
You've not got much work on at the minute then.
So we're all ready to go here. Shall I...
good man. Excellent.
When it comes to that sort of stuff.
Sorry about my phone. That's my phone ringing in the background. It's customer, but I'm not going to cut her off because then, I'm in big trouble now. The week in Apple has not happened. So what we did was say, why haven't we got some questions? And this week will be the Paul Beatty show because Paul Beatty has come back with more questions than I think we've got time for. So I'm going to chop and change all the questions. Well, no, there's a few from other people as well, which I'll read out, and a couple of good ones as well. There's a good one about NAS as well that I want to ask because I've got to say... NAS for me was, it just doesn't seem to, I've never gone back to it. First question then from Paul Beatty. Why is MS Word or .doc format still the standard? When will we move on to something else? Presumably that's better, I'm suggesting he's saying there. Why is .doc the format for text documents still, and why won't we move on to something else yet?
I don't know anybody that sends doc files anymore. So I don't understand his question.
No, I think it's probably still the standard for business, isn't it? But I mean, I think in the Mac community, or at least sort of not people in, you know, businesses within Mac, it's, you know, text and Markdown is starting to become a bit of a standard. But the Doc and DocX is definitely still a business standard because of the proliferation of Microsoft Office.
Sure. And there are all kinds of companies that refuse to move from Microsoft Office. So it'll stick around for a long time.
Because once you figure out that licensing, you never want to touch it ever again.
Right.
I'll just point that out.
And there are a lot of applications that you can get that will open, work with, and export to the Doc and DocX formats. So it's kind of a crappy common denominator.
Mm-hmm. I see a lot of PDF. Whenever I deal with regular folks, I see PDF a lot more than anything else. So that's the other reason I'm surprised. So, yes, Greeny? Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, you go ahead and host, Kelly. Right. Don't worry about me. Go on, Greeny. Kelly's giving you permission to speak.
Go ahead.
Documents, okay? It's ridiculous. It's like non-stop markup documents, you know.
Don't get Greeny off alternative word
formats. I mean, it is Microsoft Word. It has to be. I mean, I don't know what you chaps, which industry you work in, but a lot of my stuff is in sort of enterprise business. And it's just the de facto. And sometimes, why make trouble where there doesn't need to be trouble? Doc and DocX works fine. So what's wrong with it? And if somebody sends you an important...
Oh, Greeny. Oh,
flow then as well.
Bad luck, mate. I haven't cut him off, I promise. I mean, are we representative of the communities that are out there, though, that use .doc and white's the default format? I mean, it's traditionally something that... I mean, I work with people that the graphics division as corporations have moved over to PDF. High-definition PDF is the standard for print. But I work for companies that you say them about Dropbox and they're like, what's that then?
Mm.
And you say to them about Dropbox and they go, yeah, no, I know Dropbox, but our company system won't allow it. No, hardly anywhere allows Dropbox.
There's a million... Everybody's trying to create the new standard, and it's ridiculous. Just stick with Microsoft Office. You know where you are.
And everything else becomes integrated with that, doesn't it?
Which it's one? A crap format. It is a crap.
Very inefficient.
I hate using Doc.
When I do it, when I get information from people, a lot of times what I get, because there's no guarantee of Office on the other end, I know a lot of people who will send... if it's strictly information, they'll send plain text. Otherwise, it's RTF, because Word will open an RTF and work with an RTF and save it and send it back as RTF. But I can open it in text edit. I don't have to have Office on my machine in order to use that file.
That's what I said last week. That is exactly the point I said last week. And everybody said I was like talking rubbish.
You're never talking rubbish, mate. We love you.
That was exactly the point. If you want a really simple standard... rich text format is the way to go, isn't it? Which does, but to be honest, people haven't got enough time to... I mean, if we work in the tech field, that's one thing, and we can ask about messing about with different formats and all the latest trends and stuff like that. But when you're on you've got a relatively short time scale to get a job complete or keep a client happy, who can be asked to mess around with these new formats and all this markup language or whatever? You just open up Word, you write your document, and you send it, and it's done.
I'm not saying that we should forsake Markdown. I don't want you to think that I'm in your camp on that. I think Markdown is awesome, but like everything else, it's the right tool for the job. And Markdown isn't the right thing for every job. It doesn't matter what it is.
What job is Markdown right for, then? Tell me that.
Greeny, just start your video, mate.
Okay, me?
Yeah, go on then.
Okay, so for me, the right tool for Markdown is I use it for personal stuff. I use it for my own things, like if I'm formatting a blog post or I'm doing something like that where I need to put the formatting in and I don't want to have to bother with that stupid little toolbar of buttons in my editor, then I use Markdown because it's easy and it's fast. And for me, and it's human readable when I'm done. HTML is a little harder to scan with regular old eyeballs. I know I've been reading it for a long, long time. And Markdown is easier to read. So for me, for my own stuff, I use Markdown.
So here's the question then, because it's an Apple show and we're not talking about Microsoft. Mm-hmm. Why, when it's a significantly superior system and would the uptake would be, I think, immense once people had tried it, isn't Pages released on a more open format to people to use? Because I cannot, oh, come off it, Greeny. I cannot stand Microsoft Word. Pages, I find effortless to use. You've got the WP format documents. You've also got the graphics formats documents. You can flow text from column to column. If you want to make a newsletter, it's seconds rather than hours. It is superb for that. And I think that they're missing a trick because Pages out in the open market and it would run on a PC would kill. It would absolutely kill.
No? Well, Pages is a step closer to running on PCs because of the web version.
Right. Because you can run it.
A native app, but that's a nice step forward.
And they've really done a lot of work on it as well because it works great in a browser. Works really well. Not sure. It's still not formally released yet. It's still a beta version. But I mean, I have to agree with you in that because I love Pages. I mean, I do. If I'm going to do sort of any writing, I'll use Byword and just use plain text if I'm doing sort of long form writing or just to make it portable, really. But like, I do the Screencast Online Monthly Magazine completely in Pages. So all the page layout, you know, the way text, mm-hmm. you can make text flow from one text box to another, the way it you can just put graphics in and move them around effortlessly.
Placeholders.
It's superb. Really is very, very.
Actually, what's really cool as well and really powerful is if you've got iWeb and you still use that for your website, and if you use any of the other applications where you want a media placeholder in the document, all you've got to do is create the media placeholder in Pages and then cut and paste it into the other document and it still acts as a media placeholder. So if you want to make a set template with a media placeholder in Keynote, that doesn't support it. But if you cut and paste in from Pages, it does support media placeholders. Mm. It's very powerful.
Child's toy.
Now, Greeny, I'll go with you on the RTF stuff from last week. You were right, and everyone else was wrong. But you're talking out your arse now.
I'm not. It's if somebody sends you a document, right? It's a Word document, and they say go to page 12, and you open it up in Pages. The chances of page 12 being page 12.
Oh yeah, well that's different, though, isn't it?
Oh no, zero. The chances of page 12 being page 12 in Word is pretty much zero as well.
It's not. It's not. If you don't believe me, I'm doing this every day.
If you don't have the exact same fonts,
yeah, Word corrupts. I'll go with that. Anything that hasn't got the same fonts.
Version.
I'll try and move an image and it'll just go. Everything else will. Oh, it's horrible.
Word. Only a 50-50 chance that I'm.
And we've all stopped. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Virgin Media, for that one. Kelly, you were saying I'm about 50-50.
On being in the same place. I've actually had to do the thing that Greeny is talking about. I have sent you a document. Now look on this page of this document. And it wasn't like Word 2002 and Word 2012. It was like the same version, but someone else, I had run the update and the other person hadn't. And so now it was a completely different place. I was like two pages different from where the other person was.
Yeah. I'll go with that. I think that's synonymous with everything.
Yeah. Too fiddly.
Send me. Jeff, can you give us just a bit more volume, please, mate?
Oh, yeah, I can.
Yeah, you're quiet. I noticed you're quiet during the comic show as well, usually.
Google Docs. That's where you want to be.
That's Google Docs is excellent. I agree.
Yeah. I bet I sound better now.
Perfect.
Yes, you do.
Awesome.
Right.
What's our next question?
Enough of that. Next question. This one's from Paul Beatty.
Really?
Why do you have to use a magnifying glass to get the calendar list view in iOS? How should they have done it? I've got to say, I'm with him on this on iOS 7. I like iOS 7. I think it's a very slick and very operative operating system, as in it works on the legacy items extremely well, but the lack of customization of the function is what drove me away from it on the phone, because it's just, you can't, you know, even when you go bigger with the text, you still can't read stuff. It's just ridiculous.
I have a one-word solution for that. Fantastical.
Oh, I thought it was wanker.
That was my answer.
I thought it was wanker, sorry. I've been used to that all week when I've talked about other phones.
Okay, so apparently we have two options, wanker and fantastical.
Now, there are a lot of other calendar replacement apps because a lot of people think Apple goofed it up in System 6. So I guess I shouldn't say System 6 because that means something different. Yeah, iOS
that
6.
That works on a Mac.
Yeah. So I didn't even realize. I'm like, what magnifying glass is he talking about? I actually just now opened it on my new phone. And I don't, like, it didn't even occur to me that that was a thing that was a problem until right now. How should they have done it? What they should have done was bought Fantastical and let people enter everything that way. Because the awesome thing about Fantastical is natural language. You fire it up and you go, I have beers with Jeff on Friday at 3:00. And then it works out the rest of it. It's really awesome.
Yes, it is.
That's it. I also have it on my Mac. And the reason I love it on my Mac is because it puts the date in my menu bar. And for me, sometimes that's the part I need.
Mm. So there you go, Paul. I agree with you, though. I think there's a lot of stuff in iOS 7 that's not good enough in terms of customization and size and stuff. Go on, Grinny, you were about to say something.
No. I was just admiring Don's attire, rather nautical.
he's got his Breton shirt on. Have you got a coil of garlic above your head, mate? You're just waiting to put on with a beret and get on a bicycle.
Did your wife buy you that shirt?
Bonjour, Don.
I don't know. I've probably bought it myself, you know. I can't look at the label from where I am, so I don't know where it came from.
He has a man who bought it for him, mate.
No. I missed all this banter. You know?
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Next question, then, is from Paul Beatty. Nice.
Yay. Really?
I think Siri in iOS 7 is better, but I'm not sure as it's never available to take my requests. Welcome to my world, mate, as well. I've had all of that. That's another reason.
I have to say, yeah, I fully agree. I mean, I hardly ever use Siri now, and the handful of times I've used it, probably in the past couple of weeks, it's been unavailable for 50% of the time.
Does Don have a personal shopper? The Don father does not buy his own clothes. All right, Kelly, look, stop reading the chat room. I'm the host.
I've seen a couple times where Siri said she couldn't take any requests, and so I asked again and it worked. But it's only been a couple of times, so I haven't seen any sort of widespread tragedy like people are talking about. I can never get it working. I don't have that problem, so I'm not.
I can't. I mean, Paul is exactly right there because you say, I did it on the big show last week. Siri, can you do this? I'm sorry. There appears to be a problem. I can't do it right now. Bloody awful. Back when she's saying that it's non-existent for her as well. And what's the chat room poll like? How many people have actually got it to work properly? Because I think the anecdotal evidence that I've seen is that it's crap.
It's a gimmick. It's always has been a gimmick, hasn't it? We all know that.
Jeff, what were you going to say?
I'm with Kelly. I have had a couple instances where Siri said she wasn't available, and then I asked again immediately, and she worked fine. Other than that, Siri has worked flawlessly for me in iOS 7.
I wonder if it's a geographic thing, though, because, I mean, all Apple's data centers, the big problem with Siri is that it doesn't do any local processing. So even just to understand your question, it has to send the data back to its data center. Working out and then send you the response. I'm wondering if it's, you know, here in the UK, obviously there are no Apple data centers in the UK, so the bits have got a long way to travel and come back again.
And I do live by one, so that might have something to do with it.
Shouldn't make a difference. Teresa Hummel put a comment in rather than a question in the chat room. That she says, I'm with Ian Lewis and Paul Beatty. Siri's been a dog since I updated to iOS 7. I mostly use it for setting timers when I'm cooking. Now, when I say set a timer 15 minutes, it takes about 20 seconds. And then Siri says, I'm sorry, I can't process your request right now. It's a timer. That's it. Nothing complicated. Why does that need to send that away to something else? On the other hand, I really like the big round number buttons for my unlock screen. Which is easier to enter my passcode. There we go. The Society of Failing Eyesight.
Don's got a good point, though. I mean, surely for basic...
Hello? Go on, Grinny.
I was going to say, Don's got a good point, though, but surely with these new iPhone 5Ss, when they've got 64-bit processors and all this sort of stuff, surely basic commands look, you know, like an egg timer or setting your alarm and stuff like that. I can't see no reason why they can't be processed locally or text, even.
I can't see why it can't be done locally. There's enough power in the system.
For things that don't require phoning home, that would be pretty straightforward, I would think.
I mean, I've worked in a postal system where they used DOS 5 to write a voice recognition system. and the person trained on it, and all they had to do was say about 20 words, and it could recognize any country in the world from what they said. And we're talking about thick accents as well. Once I'd done 10, 20 words of training, that was it. It was 100% accurate. And that was in DOS 5. I'm going back 20 years, but maybe not. Yeah. Yeah, no, 15 years. So it's not that hard. I agree. Series crap. Get it sorted. Next question is from Paul Beattie. please.
How did Paul manage to get a question in, considering how many there are? Wow.
We've got 35 listeners that are called Paul Beattie, and they all look the same. Paul Beattie, when can we have Mavericks, please? Good question. Kelly, you have a definitive answer that's half definitive.
Well, the Golden Master has been released as of late yesterday. So, definitively soon. I mean, we know it's coming because this is the GM. I would say, I think before the show, we were sort of kicking it around, and earnings call plus one was sort of the... presumed date.
Yeah, so the day after the earnings call. But Don was saying, do we have an earnings call date? Does anyone know that?
I think it's normally due around about the 15th or 16th, isn't it, I think? Or the 18th, I think, is the most... The thing is, though, I mean, are they actually going to... I mean, last time it was with Mountain Lion, they just did a press release. They didn't announce it. As far as I can remember, it just came out. But will they hang on...
Yeah, shut up.
Yeah, will they now hang on for this big event that's supposed to happen in the next month, where they're going to introduce the new iPads and also hopefully the new Mac Pro? I mean, ideally, they'd want to display, the new Mavericks with the new Mac Pro, I would have thought, and some new Pro apps as well. So it mightn't just slip out. It mightn't be the day after the earnings call this time, I suppose. It might actually, once we know the date of the next event, it might actually be at the next event, which, again, could be, you know, in a couple of weeks.
So, well, I was going to say, here's the definitive question then, really, out of all of that definitiveness, where back when she's taking the piss out of you saying, soon, Kelly, and she's your mate as well, is that we know there's hardware coming, because they've told us the Mac Pro is coming. So is the Mac Pro...
We have an incoming call from Will Green.
Thank you, Greenie.
Is the Mac Pro an incoming call from Will Green?
Clearly. Shut up. Is the Mac Pro...
There's a new form factor.
Kelly, shut up. Is the Mac Pro a big enough deal to have a keynote?
Been long enough, I would say yes.
Not on its own, but certainly to display it at a keynote.
Oh, it's pretty earth-shaking.
But not for people.
They did iPads and Macs last time, didn't they, in the... The autumn event, I wouldn't say the fall event, the autumn event, they did the iPads and then the new iMac. So I can well imagine them going down the same path again of doing, you know, new iPads and this whiz-bang new Mac Pro.
Well, I had a bit of twitch on this week, right? It's because my MacBook Pro it's been showing white screens periodically, and I had a long chat yesterday with DHM about coming and fixing it. He reckoned it might need a new logic board. And I had a good long chat with Paulums, who came up with a few things. One of them is my tip later on, which is going to be superb because it's fixed it. But I was sitting thinking, oh, crap, I don't want to go out and buy a new MacBook Pro because this one's flaking out. I want to wait. And I'm seriously thinking about getting a Mac Pro and sticking it in a bag, because everywhere I go has got screens. I can just plug it in a screen and off I've gone. You know, I can take my Mac Pro on the road with me.
You got some money, ain't you?
Yeah, I have, actually.
I'm going to take my Mac Pro and put it in a bag and take it around with me.
Well, it's like 9 inches tall, mate.
Head.
Hang on. Here we go. The bags I carry...
No one wants someone to design a bowling ball bag that you carry a Mac Pro in.
The bags I carry, Greenie, I could get a horse's head in. But here you go. Look, here's... Because I'm cleaning up in here. Here's some Costco surface wipes that are see-through, apparently. How cool is that?
Wow.
So
naughty surface wipes.
That's it. That is the Mac Pro. I measured it.
It's changed the design since I saw it.
Yeah, I thought they were black.
Having found out the other week what a fleshlight is, it's remarkably similar. On the show. No, but that is the Mac Pro. That's the size of it.
Really? That small?
That's it.
Yeah.
That is the new Mac Pro.
Mm.
It's 9 inches tall, and the circumference is sort of 4 inches. That's it. So you could get that in a bag. That's it. It's done. I hope, I really hope that there's a 9-pin RS232 on it. Otherwise, most of the screens I go to won't work. But
no.
Oh, I'm sure there will be.
But that's
or there'll be a $29 piece of plastic to resolve this issue for you.
Bookery's put a word of safety warning. We should say this kind of thing about don't try it at home. He says, do please say that the Mac Pro is not a sex toy. I don't know so much.
No, guess I'm going to have to cancel my order.
I might be sleeping with mine. It's a superb device. I think it's so revolutionary. I mean, I get kickings all the time for not being pro Apple, for not being enthusiastic or happy about Apple. They're actually releasing a computer I want to buy, and I really am at the point where I might not actually care how much it costs.
I was going to say, you haven't seen the price yet, though, so...
Yeah, but I mean, I would say if I've got one machine that I can carry around with me and it does the job of a Mac Pro and a MacBook Pro, I'd be better off carrying a 27-inch monitor on my back.
Mm.
How is that ranking? How is that revolutionary? In what way is the new Mac Pro revolutionary?
Have you seen it?
Well, not in the flesh. I've seen it on the telly.
Right. So you're taking...
It's like our 5Q4.
You're taking something that's as powerful as the one that... Well, probably five times more powerful than the one that Don gave us, but, you know, something that's got that much grunt in it, and putting it in a case which is minuscule. You're relying on external drives, but I pretty much rely on external drives anyway now via a Thunderbolt connection.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yes, it's smaller. Yes, it's faster, but it's a pain in the ass. How can you carry it around? You have to carry your external drives around. You have to carry an external monitor around. No,
I mean,
around,
don't get me wrong.
External keyboard, external mouse.
Yeah, you're not carrying this in a briefcase, mate. No, I'm not.
Surely.
You're not carrying this in a briefcase. I absolutely agree with you, but I don't carry a briefcase. I carry a wheeled trolley because it's usually got a camera in it as well as, and my laptop, and some external drives. Go on, Jeff, you were going to say something there. Why is it revolutionary?
It's Apple has completely redesigned the whole desktop computer system from the ground up. It's completely solid state. The cooling system, no one's ever done anything like this. And being able to take the motherboard and basically wrap it around on itself as they did, there's nothing off the shelf on this. This is a new way of building computers from the ground up. And to put that much horsepower into a container that's the same size as something that holds wet wipes, that in and of itself is revolutionary.
That's what he said. That's why he's in journalism and I'm not. I take good pictures. He speaks eloquently. What he said. There you go, Granny has that.
Well, I don't know. To me... having a computer that's the same size as something that take wet wipes is not revolutionary, really.
You're keying in on the wrong part.
Go on.
Okay.
Jeff, he's winding you up a little bit as well. Be aware of that.
Oh, I know. It's all right. Don't worry. I'll get even. If I have to fly over to the United Kingdom and hunt you down, I will get even.
That'd be nice. Come over, Jeff. We'll have a beer.
Oh, we will, absolutely.
So
yeah.
You don't have to hunt me down at all.
Oh, thank God you said hunt. no, so Greeny, money no object. Are you saying you wouldn't buy a new Mac Pro?
No, I absolutely money no object. I totally would buy a new Mac Pro because of its processing power. What I am saying is there's nothing revolutionary about it. It's just a bit smaller. That's it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And black.
We'll agree to disagree.
It is revolutionary because it's circular. Da-da-ch.
Yeah. The word that Jeff used that I hadn't thought of, which he's right, is wrapping the motherboard around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So what's special about making a logic board round? How is that revolutionary? I reckon Don's on my side with this.
Well, revolution is not doing something that someone else has done before and copying. It is striking new ground. When's the last round motherboard you ever saw then, Greeny?
No, it's not. I don't think the motherboard is round. The enclosure is round, but the actual motherboards are sort of like in a pyramid shape, in a triangle. So there's three flat motherboards, and they wrap around that central core, which is the cooling system. And I presume there's a fan in there as well to extract the heat out of the central core.
It's at the top.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. But,
that's amazing. Don't forget, it's got
Thunderbolt 2 as well.
So your favourite, well, it's got Thunderbolt 2 this time, though. So.
Kelly, he's winding you up. Jesus Christ. Don't worry about it, girl.
All I did was roll my eyes. Let's move on to the next.
Paul in the chat room has said, has Will ever tried to bend a motherboard before?
If Will could bend his own motherboard, he'd never leave the house.
Hey! Yeah, and I'm the wanker. Right. Next question is... Paul's put about Mavericks. I wanted to question... So, on day one of release of Mavericks, the 10th, allegedly, should I upgrade instantly on my main machine? Or should I wait for version 1?
It depends.
Oh, go on. On what?
Well, no, it depends. It depends what you're doing with your machine. If your machine is, mission critical, or if you're running production stuff on there, the sensible answer is no. Don't leave it for a little while. If it's not mission critical, but there are still applications on there that you sort of can't live without, you want to try and make sure with the vendor that it is supported under Mavericks. And if it's just a general purpose machine that you've got. Nearly all Apple software on, and it's if one particular application stops working for a couple of days until an update comes out, well, fair enough, go ahead and do it. But it really does depend on the importance of the machine to you, because there is always a risk, even though it's been in beta for a while, that things might be a little bit flaky. There might be one or two applications that it won't support properly. So it's down to how critical the machine is to you, really.
Jeff, you were going to say something there.
Yes. Okay. So let me start that sentence over again.
I can edit. Don't worry.
Perfect. No one will.
I'm not going to, but I could.
Yeah. Well, it's the thought that counts. Okay. So if you want to upgrade to Mavericks right away, what you need to do is first make sure that every application you rely on is going to be compatible with Mavericks, and also check to make sure that any peripherals that you use with your computer are going to be compatible as well. Otherwise, no, don't upgrade. And what Don said about mission critical machines, until you're certain that you're not going to have trouble, don't upgrade your mission critical machines. That said, my mission critical machines will be running Mavericks on day one, because it's my job to jump in where angels fear to tread, so that I have the headaches, the wailing and gnashing of teeth, so you don't have to.
You're an American Mac James Bond.
I even own a tuxedo.
That's wow!
Hey,
superb.
I
was just going to read out Dwayne's comment in the chat room. Do you know the hardware compatibility of Mavericks? Yes, it runs on Macs, mate. There you go, William. What did you have to say?
Well, it was only a slight tangent. I've been reading the new James Bond novel this week.
Oh, have you?
Solo. It's set.
But back to wankers again.
Hello.
Yeah, we're still here. Go on.
Yeah, sorry. It's set back in the 60s. He's 45. It's really good. It's a great book. It's also available on Audible.
How are they going to make that into a movie if it's set in the 60s? Because they've kind of done the 60s with Bond, haven't they? Really, it's a progressive thing.
In the 60s.
Yeah.
Go on. Really?
Ooh. Which one? I was going to say but. The books and the films have taken quite a while, probably 10 years now, different routes. I mean, there's been quite a few people who've tried to create new sort of Ian Fleming style books. I've read most of them, but this new one is probably the best, I'd say.
Excellent.
Solo, I'd recommend it.
And for those of the kids watching, looked at that last section of video, don't do drugs, see? Next question we've got is from Paul Beattie. I had to reboot my Mac running Mountain Lion when it restarted. Every file in every application relaunched and nothing. Nothing was lost. What is it like when a Windows machine crashes and has to be rebooted these days? I haven't used one in a long time.
The opposite of that. Next question.
No, I don't know that's true. I don't know that's true. I've got Windows.
In Windows 7, if I have text edit, if I have Notepad open and I have to give it the three-finger salute, Notepad isn't open when I relaunch it.
Right. Okay. Doesn't 8 do anything like that? There's no...
I don't know. I'm scared of 8.
Okay. Fair enough. Good point. There you go. No one knows. I don't know that either because I don't use a Windows machine, although I had to build one the other morning so I could format a drive and put firmware on it. Next question is from Paul Beatty. He says, as Mavericks has not yet been released, I know you know, but I'm looking forward to the built-in time travel calculator in Calendar. Has anyone heard if it works and how well?
What?
We'll hear about it yesterday.
That's right.
I presume, is this a piss take or is this something to do with no, location-based time calculations?
No. Okay, what it is, there's a feature in Calendar in Mavericks where if you create an event and a location is attached to it, it will figure out based on where you are how long it takes to get to where you want to go. And then it pads that time in for you so that you can plan your schedule accordingly. So you're not cutting yourself short on drive or walk time to get someplace.
Mm. That sounds pretty cool.
Yes. And I have no idea how well it works.
Okay. There we go. Is that because you're a developer and can't say? Or?
No,
it's
in
because
this case,
half his roads disappeared 2 weeks ago.
Oops.
Yeah, it's because there is no way to get anywhere.
There's some suggestions of the next Bond movie, 50 Shades of Bond, in the chat room. Kelly has realised that Tom Hiddleston is reading the new Bond novel, and Batwinch has realised that she is, which is why she's just had to go to the toilet, I think. There we go. And we're back to the other thing that we were talking about earlier. I'm not saying
Paul
that
again.
Next question is from Ian Lewis. Someone else. There's two listeners to this show. I'm a complete...
Paul and not Paul.
Yeah.
Hi, not Paul.
I'm a complete noob to the idea of NAS storage. I want a simple solution that connects straight to my ADSL router and gives me the option of two drives, one for backup, whether that's a Time Machine or a Carbon Copy Cloner, etc., and one as a file server, primarily for iTunes, etc., with the idea in the future, as I don't have one, of being able to access that iTunes folder from an Apple TV. So my question is, would... a particular option that's on eBuyer work because, yes, I'm a tight ass. This is a Pulse 2-bay, no disk, NAS enclosure, DNS 320, UTM. I appreciate it's got no current drives in it. I can put those in myself. There we go. I've got to say, NAS is probably like gay sex for a lot of girls at college because they try it once and they don't like it. And I, for me, I'm the same. I tried NAS once and that put me off for life. Never worked. I've
for
never got
who
a NAS system.
I don't know what we're talking about. Let me back up a moment and say NAS stands for network attached storage. And it's sort of like having the hard drives of a computer on your network without having all the computer bits attached to them. So it's usually just some sort of bay that you stick a couple of hard drives in and you stick it on the network in a closet or under a desk or someplace because you don't have to access it very often. And then it gives you additional storage out on your network. Lots of people who like this are people who have a laptop that doesn't have a very big hard drive, but maybe they've archived a lot of music, or people who do a lot of video work or photography want to save that stuff off somewhere else. And so instead of having to plug in and unplug drives from the laptop all the live long day, what they end up doing instead is just having this thing that lives on the network all the time that they can access whenever they feel like. That is the definition of NAS. Now we can answer this guy's question.
Now, can I do a definition of lesbian at college?
Yes.
I think talking about lesbians
really
at college is much more interesting than talking
Kelly,
about...
Kelly, you ruined my joke, mate. So you what did you expect? I mean... No, I mean, NAS, I've
no,
got to say...
I really expected an Guinness impression was what I expected.
I tried NAS once, and I couldn't get it to work. It never worked on the system at all. And yes, there's an idiot who's trying to set it up. I fully grant you that before I get the emails on the subject. But I never got it to work. And it was such a sour effect. It was just, give up. And I ended up just plugging the damn thing into the computer and be done with it. Run it as a local storage.
So, So basically what you're saying is you decided it was okay to try and experiment. You couldn't get it up, so you ended up just taking care of it yourself.
Badumtish, you've got it. That's it.
Got it.
Back to the same subject. Right. I mean, is NAS easier?
Oh, yeah.
Than it ever, I'm going back 10 years, maybe.
Yeah. Well, there's some really, God. I mean, people like Drobo do it now. Synology, I've just recently got a Synology NAS drive, which is really nice. And I mean, my experience is really just Drobo and Synology, although there are a few others. I think the D-Link's a well-respected brand as well. But it is a very simple solution. It's a very easy solution to set up, to be honest. It must have gone a long way since you struggled with it. But, you know, it's nice to have that storage permanently available. You know, you don't have to worry about keeping a machine on 24 hours a day and hooking it to that machine. Lots of NASs now have lots of additional functionality, such as, well, the Synology, you can run it as a DNS server, you can run it as a Plex server. It's got lots of applications that you can actually run on a NAS box. And in effect, it becomes like its own sort of mini computer to do various things. But it's pretty straightforward to set up. What I would say, though, is if... you know, if you're looking to expand, it might be worth, rather than just a single or two drive, perhaps looking at a bigger array so you can add additional drives in at a later time to expand it rather than just sort of replacing the drives in there. But I think most people will find a solution for a NAS within the home environment now. Lots of things it can do.
Movies.
Absolutely.
Et cetera.
Yeah, 10 years ago, you had to build config files by hand. Like, I had to break out Terminal to get stuff working and build Samba config files from scratch in Terminal, which if you've ever had to do that, I don't recommend it. It's the kind of thing you make people do if you're mad at them. So yeah, now the one we have in the closet at the moment, you plug it in and you turn it on and that's it. And then later, you know, you can swap out a drive for a bigger drive when there's another Black Friday sale at Best Buy or what have you. So it's way, 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 way easier than it used to be. As for the iTunes, Apple TV piece with a flat drive, I don't know how that works. I think it's something where you have to have the software, some sort of software on the NAS itself that will allow for that to happen, which is something Don probably knows about that I do not.
Yeah, you can sometimes get an iTunes server to run on it, but and Synology does support that, but I don't know about other makes.
Okay. Good. I have to say as well that the I lied about only trying it once. I tried it twice, and the other one was a Drobo share, and that's what put me off forever. There we go. But that Drobo story is a long story. Go on, Grady, say again.
I was going to say, I mean, for your average user, there's lots and lots of reasons why somebody would want to use a network attached storage system like that, or even a SAN system. You know, fill your
boots.
Fully boots with network drives, that sort of stuff. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, isn't it just easier just to connect a hard disk to your computer and back up like that? Or,
well, you, I mean, say that, but I mean, the Mac Pro I've got underneath the desk here, I read an article a few months ago. To run that for an entire year without switching it off and have network attached storage on it that then runs out around the network is over £300 per year on your electrical bill.
I suppose. Okay, fair enough. I don't know. Are things changing? I mean, I put my trust in the cloud, and I know that you've got a lot of media on your hard drives that you sort of stream around the house.
I've got Mac Mini, yeah.
On your Mac, so I can see why you need that sort of capacity, but I've tried to put my trust in the cloud when it comes to films and things like that. But if I'm truthful, that side of stuff, in a sense, could argue that sort of a network attached storage style thing, even though it's over the cloud, it's very similar in a sense. But it's in the control of other people, I suppose. My illusions of Apple's cloud management have been shattered, but I've shared that with you before.
Oh, this week they've turned off cloud. If you've got more than 5 gigabyte, that's it. Back to the basic package. And then they want £80 for the next 40 gig. Stuff that.
It's rubbish. Apple's cloud solution is rubbish.
Paul's keeping up. He says, Windrider says, doesn't it keep the room warm with all the heat that's come out? Yes, it does. It gets bloody hot in here. I never have heating on in the winter. And Cyber Paul says, now he's got an air conditioner, that's fine. And I'm running an air conditioner today because it's that hot in here.
Yeah. I had two Mac Pros running and I had to buy an air conditioner because it was just unbearable. Yeah. The heat from the two Mac Pros used to be phenomenal.
Wow.
Next question's from Carl Proctor. What's the best way to get slow-mo video off of 5S and into iMovie, preserving the effect? Question is whether it imports to iMovie with the 60 frames or 120 frames a second intact, or whether it puts it at 30.
Mm. Kelly? Sort of. I was just reading about this the other day, so because I got a phone that will do this, and so I was curious. The slow-mo effect is metadata, but it's still a video that's 120 frames a second. So if you import it into like iMovie or something and you slow it down, you can slow it down by hand. But the slow-mo bit is just metadata that's on the phone. Mavericks might fix this. But because like, you know, Mountain Lion knows nothing about slow-mo video. So hopefully Mavericks will have some sort of way to preserve the metadata when you copy that video clip off onto your computer. When you copy it to your computer, it'll just look really, really smooth when you go back and when you are watching the clip. But there's a slow-mo, I don't remember what the menu is, but there's a place where you can slow down the speed, like in iMovie, and you can tell it, like, I want it to be a lot slower, and then it'll slow it down for you. But like, if you mark the spots for the slow-mo and slow it down and everything, that effect is metadata, so it doesn't transfer over if you copy it to your machine.
Yeah, I mean, speaking as a photographer, you've always got to keep your original, and if you can export it to 120 frames a second, keep it. That's it, because yeah, then you can do what you want with it, and you've got the progressive timeline. Particularly if you're going to Final Cut Pro, where you can just retime it, just Command R, and you'll get the retime bar on the top, and you've got the presets of 200%, 400%, 800%, etc. But you can also just click and drag the edge and compress and open that timeline, and it will keep the frame data. So if you've got a 60 frames per second piece in there, even though you're compressing it backwards and forwards, that 60 frames per second will remain. It won't change. So, and it will be uber smooth, as Kelly says. Excellent. Next question from Carl Proctor. Will the Surface 2 emerge as a competitor to the tablet? Oh, thanks, Carl.
Wow.
I didn't realize we were doing comedy this week. I thought we were going to get actual questions.
The best part was that Ewan was able to keep a straight face as he read that.
To the end. That was really impressive.
Next question is from Mike O'Hara. He says, I need to assist a 70-year-old cousin to get his off his 12-year-old XP PC and onto a tablet. Given some challenges he faces, would he be better off with the tablet UI? He needs photos, documents, music, email, browsing. And here's the question. Up to now, I've been steering him towards an iPad, but would he be better off with a Surface?
You said you only had a week to help him.
They keep rolling in.
I'm going to go ahead.
And where's it gone? I've lost it. There we go. No, don't That's get him a Surface. Jesus
just
Christ.
And be done with it.
Well, the other thing that came up, Carl wrote a little reply to him later on. That was Carl, Carl Proctor that asked the other question. Mm-hmm. And he said, why aren't you looking at a small laptop, perhaps? Because that would be far easier. And if he doesn't need the portability of an iPad, there is far more flexibility in getting a MacBook Pro or even a little desktop with a tiny screen, you know, a Mac Mini.
He could probably even get a Chromebook if the stuff that he's using is, you know, he wants to send files back and forth to people. He wants documents. He wants photos. He wants email. He wants a web browser. Like, he could do a Chromebook. In the U.S., it's a $250 solution to the problem. If he needs a little bit more than what, if it would take less shoehorning to get him onto Chrome OS than it would to get him onto iOS, then go Chromebook. Again, right tool for the job.
Yeah, netbooks would be ideal. Yeah. MacBook Air would be good.
Yeah.
It's a grand, though. That's the trouble. So, $299 for a Chromebook in PC World at the moment, says Batwench. That's the old one, yeah. I presume. So, question.
Has anybody played with a Chromebook, though?
Not the new one, no. I've played with the old one.
Yeah, I played with the previous edition. It's a handy little device.
It's okay. You need to be online, otherwise you're knackered, but yeah. Well, you don't, but you might as well.
Yeah, though. It's a it's a concept. I think for me, I work with Google. Not there yet. It's a million miles not there yet. So I would steer clear of the Chromebook.
Right.
And go for.
But if you're only, if you're not a power user though, Greeny, you know, just for email checking, music and.
Even that, I'd go for something like. I mean, I've got this Sony Xperia Z tablet. Fantastic! It runs Chrome OS. Great, and it's a much better satisfying experience than the Chromebooks. That would is what I would think.
Okay. Good one. Excellent. Teresa's got a new question. She says, my question is that there's not a lot of discussion about the new iMacs. I want to get one next month, and I've seen the standard reviews, but nothing else about them. I realise that no one thinks desktops are even worth the time of day at the moment, but I do use my iMac 99% of the time, and I love it. I'll want to wait until Mavericks comes out, so possibly in addition, what are the rumblings out there about Mavericks and the new iMacs?
The iMac is a great computer. And I know a lot of people bag on desktop systems, but come on. Where else are you going to find that much horsepower at that low of a price? It's a fantastic computer. Basically, you're buying a really nice display and you get a hardcore computer thrown in for free.
Yeah, it happens to have a computer strapped to the back.
Yeah, go ahead and get your iMac. Absolutely do it. And if you want to wait until Mavericks comes out so that you don't have to upgrade to Mavericks, okay, fine. So end of October, beginning of November, buy yourself your brand new iMac and just plug it and love it. It'll be a great machine.
I'd agree with that. The iMacs are gorgeous machines.
They're beautiful.
I'd love one. I've just got an old one for Ellis off eBay. It's up in his room, the 24-inch one, and it's absolutely stunning. I love it.
That's a really nice machine.
It was very solid, very solid. Next question is from Mark Topping. I want your verdict on iOS versus Windows Mobile Phone 8. How are you finding the tiles? How closed is the OS compared to Android? And can your Nokia sync with your Mac? Are you... See you, Greeny. Are you having to go to 100?
Incoming call from Wolverine.
That's what that button's for. Will.
Don't forget your video, Greeny. Are you having to go to 100% Windows now? No, I'm not. The Windows Phone 8 application that's in the Mac App Store is beautiful. You can't sync your DRM content, but that's not a surprise. But the rest of it is absolutely stunning. As to the applications and the icons, I love the icons. You can't see them particularly well because they're green and it's see-through. But basically, you can pick three sizes of icon to decide, you know, what the proliferation of them is that you want and how many there are. And I am a lover of Windows Phone 8, I have to say. I'm enjoying it immensely after the first week.
What is this heresy I hear?
Well, apparently someone did write in and call me a traitor.
I go with that. You are a traitor.
I got some tweets the other week saying, I hate your anti-Apple bullshit. I'm going to unfollow you. So I said, do close the door on the way out, and blocked them.
How to win friends and influence people by Ewan Rankin.
All I've done is gone to a new phone because I don't need an iPhone. I'm not a power user of an iPhone. I use it to make calls, texts. I know that's innovative. Texts, that kind of stuff. Listen to podcasts in the thing. This thing has got a thing called Podcast Lounge. It's as good as Downcast. It's got a Twitter system that is called Twabbit, and it's... The system is just beautiful. It's an easy interface. It's dead easy to use. It's very clear, and it's the whole thing is just, it's 60 frames a second for scrolling. I love this thing. I absolutely adore it, and it's got a huge screen, which is fantastic. So, if you're thinking that you don't want to swap away from iPhone because you're worrying about sync with Apple, it's not an issue anymore. That's 5 years ago. Now. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. It's easy. It's effortless if you want to do it. Take the phone on its merits. If the iPhone is doing what you want with it, go buy it. If it's not, don't. Anyone got anything to add?
No. Yeah. I'd love to try
there
one.
You go.
Tried one.
Well, come down and have some dinner, mate, and I'll let you have a play with mine.
All right. It's a bit of a way, but after you talk about going, I'm going to have to split in 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
I warned. Because if you got a new phone, it's nothing related, you know.
So we get Don's pick and send him on his way?
Yeah, I think we should do that. This podcast and all the others is sponsored by UK2.net. I made him a video which I played on last week's podcast. That was the intermittent music that everyone... What's the musical interlude? I got emails saying... Watch the video and you'll find out. I couldn't be bothered to cut it out of the audio for the podcast. They're brilliant. They've got fantastic offers on at the moment. Website Builder. I've just moved Myography Squared site onto Website Builder. It is effortless. If you want to set up a pay system, I've got a friend who sells hair products, and I've just talked them towards going to UK2. And the guy had a go with it. He said, is it really supposed to be this easy with PayPal? I said, yep, it's all pre-programmed. It's all set up. You get templates that are pre-paid for PayPal. Pre-linked, it works effortlessly. So even if you're into your CSS and that kind of stuff, but you're kind of like, oh, I don't know about the e-commerce bit, maybe I'm a bit flaky on that, doesn't matter. You can get Website Builder, you can get their e-commerce section, which will rock solid and will work just fine, and then you can mess with the CSS all you want. You can bring up a panel and do whatever you like with it for the rest of it, for the look and feel. Check out UK2. Use our offer codes. There's tons of stuff you can get. Make sure you use the click through off our website, though, britishtechnetwork.com. Go to the sponsors, go to UK2, buy what you buy, and if you're on Twitter, say thanks for sponsoring the network, because we wouldn't exist without them. We don't have enough money to cover the bandwidth charges that we would have if UK2 didn't sponsor us. So thank you very much to them. We love them to bits. It's time for the cool thing, and we're going to start with Don, because Don has to go and get his car.
Okie cokie. Right, well, this is, I used to use Instagram a while ago, and when there was a big hoo-ha about the terms and conditions and privacy, etc., I actually deleted my Instagram account. So I'm no longer using Instagram because I didn't like it. But there's a new application out now called Faved, F-A-V-D. It's a thing similar to Instagram in that it allows you to take photos and put filters on, etc. But the unique thing about Faved, and it's a free application, is that it links in with your app.net account. So if you've got an app.net account, you can still get a free app.net account. When you take a photo with it, it actually uploads it to your shared app.net service, so that you retain ownership of the image. The image is actually stored within your personal file storage on app.net. But it also shares with Twitter, it shares with app.net, and it shares with Facebook as well. So if you want to take a photo, apply a filter, and then share it on your various social media accounts, you can just tap a button and it will share it to those three different services. But you still keep the photo. You can do anything you want with it. So it's a free app. I think it's you can actually buy additional filters. So that's the way they're sort of monetizing the app itself. But you can buy the free app and just use it. There's a dozen or so free filters in there as well, and have a play with it. But I just thought it was a nice sort of way to show, you know, the power of app.net and what they, you know, what developers can do with you know, your own personal storage within that particular service.
Excellent, mate.
Faved, F-A-V-D.
Right. Okie-doke.
Okay. So I'm going to...
Go get your car, pal, and we'll see you next week.
Okie-dokie.
Yep. Windrider in the chat room says Faved is brilliant. So there you go. Endorsement.
Cool. There you go.
Right. Pete says nothing nice about anything, so that's got to be good.
All right. See you later. Cheers now.
See you, Don.
See you, mate. Take care.
Bye.
Jeff, what have you got for us, mate?
All right. I just realized my pick might be Kelly's pick also. Are you going with your day job for your pick, Kelly?
I am indeed, but please, by all means, go ahead. It means more coming from someone who's not me.
All right, then. So my pick this week is 1Password 4 for the Mac. It just came out yesterday, and holy crap, it's fantastic. So you've had Dropbox syncing for a while. They added an iCloud syncing for people that need that. You have you can still do the local network sync thing. And the way they've rejiggered the categories for managing all of your passwords and everything else that you want to keep in the app, just, it is so nice. And I was lucky enough to get to be a beta tester with 1Password 4. So when I would sit down at someone else's computer and they would be using 1Password 3, it was actually a jarring experience for me, because the interface in 1Password 4 is so much better just across the board. If you're not using 1Password 4, just go ahead and jump into it now. It is absolutely worth it. And yeah, just get it. Absolutely. Just go get it.
There was a question in the questions about 1Password, which is going to be perfect for Kelly to kind of plug the service, but it's disappeared. So I think it was part of perhaps I think it might have been part of someone's question, and they've deleted Mike O'Hara's question, and he's deleted it now. But there you go, resounding endorsement from Jeff. Kelly, have you thought on your feet, or are you going to do the same thing?
No, I totally have another one. What I will add to Jeff's wonderful recommendation is that it's on sale right now, and if you own version 3 from the Mac App Store, you already get a free upgrade to 4. If you bought version 3 in 2013 at any point from January 1st, 2013 until yesterday, you will get a free upgrade to version 4. Otherwise, we've put it on sale in the Mac App Store, and it's on sale on our website. So if you bought it from our website and you want to upgrade, we have upgrade options available for you. If you decide you want to switch to upgrade to the Mac App Store version, you can buy it on sale as well. So that's it for that. I'm going to pick this game that I got a recommendation on from Mike Schramm, who used to be the game review type fellow at Tuwa. He gave this game a good review. It's called Reaper, Tale of a Pale Swordsman. And so far I've only played about 3 levels, but I absolutely love it. It's a beautiful looking game. The controls are really easy. It's super fun to play. It's free.
Hey.
And it's a questy sort of game, so there's a little bit of skill involved, but not like a whole lot of it, and so it's a lot of fun. And it's a very start and stop, like you don't have to spend an hour at a time on it or anything like that. It's a very pick up and play sort of thing, and I like it very, very much. And I don't tend to spend a lot of time with whatever game comes out that everybody likes to play. I'm not that kind of person. So I don't have a whole lot of games on, like, on my phone or on my iPad or on my Mac. I like, you know, a crossword puzzle and a card game and, you know, a little bit of stuff here and there, but not like a lot of people are. So I don't recommend games very often, and I'm totally recommending this one.
Good girl. Well done. Nice one. Greeny, I always look forward to your picks, mate.
I got 2, if you don't mind.
Go on then.
Both old school, one digital and one paper. So I'll begin with the digital one. Are you familiar with the old Moleskine books?
Yes.
The best.
Yep. Oh, yes. I'm surprised I can't reach one right now, actually.
Right then, Greeny, we are.
It's free. It's totally free. And there's a really nice Moleskine version of it. Unfortunately, iOS 7 has tripped it up a little bit. So don't totally rely on it until they bring out the next update. But they're pretty good. They're pretty quick on bringing the updates out. But as we speak now, don't totally rely on it. But when the next update comes, and previous to this, it's been absolutely fantastic. So Moleskine, it's a great free app that... Am I still here?
Yeah, you're still going. Go on, mate.
Good. That's nice, isn't it?
So Moleskine, go on. Next one then, next pick.
That sometimes, you know, when you die, I wonder if you say, am I still here after or not?
I guess not.
And then if they say no, then you've had it, haven't you?
I'm an atheist, so I'm guessing that you just stop.
Was it George Burns that used to say, they used to ask him what his routine was, and he said, I get up every morning and read the paper. I start with the obituary section to make sure I didn't die.
That's it.
Yeah.
My wife is going to have carved on my tombstone, life, the only thing you and Rankin ever finished.
Oh, my God.
I've got a dad's tap spanner from 12 years ago. I still haven't fixed the tap.
Now, I want to point out you have children.
Yeah.
So we know, we have physical proof you have finished at least one other thing.
Could have been early.
But you still finished.
Jesus Christ. I get emails about premature ejaculation. I'm like, how do they know? How the hell does Kelly know? Jesus. Secrets.
I didn't know until...
I'm never telling Batwench anything again. Right. Greeny, what's your other pick, mate?
The other one... now, I think you might have to be British to get this, but it's called the Know-How Book of Spycraft. Published by Osborne. Anybody had that?
No.
Nope.
Is it like a boy's own thing? Warlord.
it's when I was a little boy, I really wanted to be a spy. And so, you know, I kicked off with the Whiz Kids books and all that. The Whiz Kid handbooks are fantastic. And they did one to how to be a spy. And they did another one about how to spot UFOs and another one, which is actually quite good. The Whiz Kids book for Halloween, which I can't remember what it's called now. But it, do a quick Google on Whiz Kids and you'll find it. Pretty cool. Great book. And now Halloween is up and coming. But the Know-How Book of Spycraft was the first book that Usborne, publishing house released. And it was actually used in court, used as evidence at the High Court trial of Soviet spy Oleg Gordievsky, who testified that his book gave away the KGB's tradecraft. So I had it when I was a little boy, and they've just released it again for its 40th anniversary. Obviously, I had it only 20 years ago, something like that. But it's just been re-released. It's $5.99. Fantastic. So if you want a bit of a trip down memory lane, and you've got a little lad or a little girl, I'm not saying the little girls can't be...
Ellis would love that.
Spies. Yeah, but little girl spies, they do... Well, doesn't matter. Anyway, so the Know-How Book of Spycraft, lots of secret codes, tricks, and disguises. Fantastic for your little boy or girl.
Excellent pick, mate. Wonderful. My pick is the Nokia 1020. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, Ewan, I have to bail because I have a meeting that I have.
Oh, yeah, every time. All right, mate. Know. I'll see you in a bit.
All right, see you.
See you, pal. Take care. My pick is the Samsung QX10. There we go. Now, you're sitting looking going, it's a lens. No, it's not a lens. This is a camera. The whole thing is a camera, all by itself. There you go. And it takes a picture, it takes a micro SD in the back, and when you point it at things, it's got a little focus button on the side here. No manual settings or anything, but there you go, it's just taking a picture. There you go. Now then, here's the cool part. You get a little bayonet fitting that comes with it. You screw it on the back, like so. It's dead easy, honest. Ah, there we go. And you lock it in place. Open up the couple of flaps that are on the back here, and then pull them apart and stick it on the back of your Android or iOS phone. So what you end up with is a little day-out camera. Okay? Then you download the Samsung software, and it's Sony even, not Samsung, and then you go around, and your image that's in this camera via the Wi-Fi that you set up is displayed on here, and then you push the button and you take your picture, and it stores it on your iPhone or the SD card. And the picture quality, it's 16 megapixel camera, it's £169, so it's only $220 ish, something like that. And it, the pictures it takes are awesome. They are beautiful.
That's bloody good, isn't it? Look at that. That's a thing of beauty, isn't it?
It is, and it's not that silly to carry around as well. It grips on pretty well. And it takes fantastic pictures. It absolutely does. Really, really gorgeous. I'm well impressed with this. It also works as a standalone camera and video camera. It's 1080p, but it's only 1440 by 1080. It's not 1920 by 1080, so it's not elongated. So you'll get 720.
We talked about this when it was released, yeah?
Yeah, and it fits on a
tripod. Or announced, I mean.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely
Sony
stunning.
Are really coming back, aren't they? They
got some innovation. They are. They absolutely are. They've got some real innovations.
PS4.
Well done, son. You can use it as a standalone camera, but you just can't see what you're taking unless you've got an Android phone or an iPhone. Doesn't work with Windows Phone 8 because you need the software from Sony, which they haven't done. But if you've got the Xperia stuff from Sony, it's got NFC on it as well. So with your Android and Xperia phones, all you got to do is dab it together and that's it. It's paired. You don't even need the Wi-Fi.
Have you seen the Sony Android Watch?
Yeah, it's the smartwatch. It's about 150 quid, isn't it? Looks pretty good.
It's blooming ace, it is.
Very good.
Yeah, Sony are really coming back. And I like Sony. Everybody likes Sony, I think.
Just Google Sony Cyberpool in the chat room said, have you got a link? And I just Google Sony XP10 on eBuyer. I think that's where I got it. No, I got it on Amazon. £169. And you can stick a micro SD in there up to 64 gig and store a shed load of photos. I wanted it for me boom. I was going to, because I've got a 5 meter boom that I use commercially. I was going to screw this on the end of the boom, and because the boom tends to bounce when you've got an SLR on it because it's just so heavy. Whereas that wouldn't bounce so much, but it doesn't cover It doesn't take full 1080. But it's good. It's good. And the price is dirt cheap. So there we go. Am I doing a photo show? No. Am I doing a Nokia show? Sorry, I read that wrong. I hate being dyslexic. Where can we get a hold of you? Don McAllister is at Screencasts Online. There he is, look, not there at all. And you can get him at Screencasts Online. If you're a Mac user and you don't subscribe to Screencasts Online, you're a muppet. Particularly if you're thinking about getting a new Mac or something like that, or you've got a relative who's new to Mac, buy him a subscription for that. You'll never get the support calls because Don explains it. Don does it. He also has a monthly magazine, which you can get, which is brilliant too. You can get Jeff at the Mac Observer. And he's at jgamet on Twitter, and he's also got a blog about the crap that people pull in coffee shops called Fresh Brewed Tales as well. So have a look for that. Kelly, where are you, missus?
You can find me on the Tua Talkcast and on Angry Mac Bastards. Apparently you can find me on The Big Show later today. And you can also find me on The Comic Show on this very network and over at tuaw.com or Verso on app.net and Twitter.
Excellent. Thank you, Mrs. And Mr. Green, where the hell are you? William Green's gone.
He's left.
You can get Will. British. Oh, here we go. He's back. He's back. There we go.
I'm still here.
Yeah, you are. He's not dead yet.
Com. Am I still here?
BritishMac.com. Yeah.
Am I still here?
Yeah, you're still here.
I'm not dead then.
No, not dead. You're fine. Do you want to say where you are?
No, oh, sorry. No, it's... Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know where you are?
And it's... Sorry, I totally lost the plot there. And Twitter. I am British Mac as well.
Good man. Like it's losing the plot's a new thing for Greeny. Right.
Is that it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Am I still here?
We're here. We'll be back in next week with the Mac Show. See you then.